Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So my theme this week is listening as much as watching, even though we are talking about theater. It seems like more and more companies are getting into the audio game. The Keen Company, for example, has announced its 21st season called Hear, H-E-A-R, Now. Offering 5 original plays, the first up is called Finkel. A new one will be dropped, as they say, every Friday. In the neck of these woods, the Williamstown Theater Festival season comes to us via Audible. I will have my ears attached to one called Paradise Blue, which was written by Dominique Morisseau, who was having a hugely productive pandemic, and directed by Ruben Santiago Hudson, having an even busier one. And the cast features Andre Holland, one of my favorite actors, as well as Blair Underwood. Again, all this is on Audible, where so many are listening to their chosen books these days. And then there's a new podcast called A Day at the White House, a musical comedy imagining the likes of the Marx Brothers, here called the Starks Brothers, running the country. That's a podcast, so you listen to that one. Orson Welles' famous radio report, of course, which scared a nation decades ago, called War of the Worlds, was just read by the Keen Company and may still be available through Broadway on demand, though I'm not sure our world needs much more scaring right now. And you can still listen to the Berkeley Reps radio play called It Can't Happen Here, based on a Sinclair Lewis novel imagining a narcissistic demagogue's run to take over the country. It's a lot of fun. Okay, what did I stream with my eyes as well as my ears this past week? Well, the Actors Fund presented its third reading of what it considers classic or particularly timely plays. This one was David Mamet's Race, which I do not think I ever saw on Broadway. For this version, Felicia Rashad directed 4 excellent performers, Ed O'Neill, David Alan Greer, Alicia Stith, and Richard Thomas, in a piece about the trial of a white man accused of raping a black woman. The dialogue is complex and even surprising as the plot turns and Mamet dialogue spews forth, "You're white. Is that a crime? You don't know whether to confess or go out and buy a gun. Every case is about hatred, fear, or envy, and you just hit the trifecta. Race is the most incendiary issue of our time." Now, keep in mind, Mamet wrote those words in 2009. On a different note, but featuring a woman who never hits a wrong one, I enjoyed Kelly O'Hara's benefit concert for the New York Pops, performed outside. Ah, to hear that voice for one dazzling hour. Backed by only 2 musicians, she presented a carefully thought-out selection of music that has been important in her life. That, I think, remains online as well. My other 2 favorites in the same mold, Audra McDonald and Laura Benanti, have solo concerts coming up, so keep an eye and ear out for those. Meanwhile, the Great Barrington Stage Company did a reading of a past production called Typhoid Mary, starring Judith Ivy and Jill Morton. This one may have been penned by Mark St. Germain 2 years ago, but it feels like 2 weeks or 2 days ago. Mary, of course, was the Irish domestic worker, a cook, who in 1900 was accused of infecting many around her. Eerily resonant lines here like, "You can't deny science," and "She was a walking disease, but Mary does not believe in germs." Let's hope this one remains available. Also catching a moment, the Skylight Theater in Los Angeles presented We the People, sentiments spoken by folks like Allison Janney, Wendy Malick, Charlie Shaughnessy, and James Naughton, all in the hope of getting out the vote. This one remains up for viewing. Win or lose, it is inspiring with words we should never forget. And I tuned into a few interesting conversations. My favorite has become the weekly one that John Doyle, artistic director of the Classic Stage Company, hosts. Every one of these has been fun and frank and enlightening, and they remain available, I believe, on the CSC site. This one was with Anika Noni Rose, who performed in the lead role in that company's Carmen. She spoke movingly of her journey as a woman of color. When she joined the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, she recalled, "I was working with people who had never interacted with a black person." Her breakthrough was the Broadway show written by Tony Kushner, Caroline or Change, one in which her role kept getting bigger as her talent became more apparent. "I was playing a 15-year-old in 1965, she said, and was honored with giving the epilogue about taking down Confederate statues. Talk about prescience. Rose has had a remarkably varied career in all mediums, but she said playing Carmen at classic stage was one of the top artistic experiences of my life. There was talk of that moving to Broadway, but, well, another time, obviously. We are all going to be consumed with that thing called the election this week, but that doesn't mean there isn't time or even the need for some theatrical fare. So here are some newer things to check out. The Lower Depth Theater in Los Angeles continues its festival through Wednesday. These are short, original pieces having to do with the pandemic and or the Black Lives Matter movement. I enjoyed listening to that discussion after with several of the playwrights about their process. It helps to have a prompt, said one. Let something come out and just see where you go with it. For a minute, if I might mention that when I was in a night class years ago writing for children, during one we had a prompt. We were told you have 10 minutes to write to someone, anyone, could be somebody you knew, could be Abraham Lincoln. And for some reason, I started writing Dear Maudie. That was my first two words, and that was about a girl that had been my best friend until something happened. Anyway, became a play, and in fact, it had a run at the Sharon Playhouse. But I digress. The next Theater of War project is November 6th at 2 p.m. Damian Lewis is a big name here. As usual, these actors read the words of Sophocles, weirdly resonant, and there's a follow-up discussion, in this case about the needs of veterans. The Atlantic Theater continues its reunion series. This week, the play is Guards at the Taj, written by Pulitzer finalist Rajiv Joseph and directed by Amy Morton. The play won 3 Obies. Lessons in Survival continues just a few more days on the Vineyard Theater site, though I would not be surprised if it will later be available all in one. This is comprised of fine actors reading the actual words of people like James Baldwin, Toni Morrison, and Lorraine Hansberry. It may be one of the most inventive projects of this period. And you've wondered about various stages opening? Well, the Denizen Theater in New Paltz is trying it out with a Neil LaBute work called True Love Will Find You in the End. Now, bear in mind, only 8 audience members, socially distanced, masks required, are allowed in. So not quite like old times, Jill, but very much about these new ones.
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned that because New Paltz isn't that far, and no, there weren't that many people, but at least there were people. And that's, I was really, I looked and I thought, oh, good, I wonder if she's seen this. Answer, yes, she has.
Yeah, I'm not very interested in seeing the play.
Actually. No, I understand.
I know, only because I'm not crazy about Neil LaBute as a playwright, but that's a different thing. But they're trying, they're trying.
And what I'm also curious about is, have you had any further, aside from sampling all these wonderful things, have you had any further anything about people watching things online and what, and how they feel about it, and whether there is a fatigue or no or yes?
There
or...
is. People in general are having Zoom fatigue in their lives, aside from watching anything creative on it. Actors, they all say the same thing. Every single one that I listen to, Noni Rose said the same thing. She said, look, we're all doing great things to help the community, and we're doing these readings. But, they all say it's not live theater. Now, that's from their standpoint. Actors get a lot out of having an audience there. The question is, will the audience go back, or are they getting used to watching? I mean, I got to say, there's something nice about Saturday night. I cuddled up and I watched the Great Barrington Stage Company. I don't know, would I have driven to the Great Barrington Stage Company to see Typhoid Mary?
You would have, but what I'm curious about is that there can also be, I mean, certainly it can be monetized so that one can have the hybrid if that's what they choose. I mean, I think that, you know, if life in the last X years has proved anything, you can basically tailor your platforms without cannibalizing your product.
Absolutely.
So I just see a tremendous growth opportunity. But why should you have to choose, in my view?
Yeah, and we may not have to. You know, the big question mark is not about the actors. It's about the theaters themselves, the physical theaters getting in proper shape to be accepted as healthy, you know, whether it's the air or the
size. Is anybody working on that the same way that they've been working on planes? You know, it just came out recently that planes were actually rather safe. So,
They have work to do in these theaters, whether they're people, if you go to a theater, whether they're there banging on the, on the air conditioners or whatever, I don't know, or increasing the size of the dressing rooms. That's the first big thing, is making the theaters safe for the people who are in them.
And that's what I was
on and off, you know.
And that's what I was asking. Do you know if any work is being done?
I really don't know if any. I don't think so. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I'd be surprised because it's just so far away. You know, nobody's thinking there's going to be Broadway until at the earliest in June. As you know, they keep putting that off.
Right, but it takes a while. If you're going to be ripping out your heating system, ventilation system, you'd best get on that before May.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a good question. This is so, you know, what can I say? The whole world could change tomorrow, for starters. But and that we have a long way to go, you know, with these numbers. As I always say, the theater community's done an amazing job. But yes, everybody's getting tired of it. And they're not getting paid. You know, all these theater people are not getting paid.
So there's definitely an economic impact.
Tremendously. I think how much the arts... Broadway brings to New York every year, you know, in tourism. I mean, that's the number one, you know, factor when you look at our finances in New York City, and we've lost it. So there is so much work to do. I don't know. I try to remain optimistic that shows somewhere at some time will go on.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.